It's a Wednesday, and as always, we visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Always great info from Brian on the Cardinals minor league system, the minor leagues in general, baseball in general. And as always, we say good morning to Brian on this Wednesday. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great, Dan. Got a lot to talk about today. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. So the Cardinals did make a signing. It's not a trade for Nolan Arenado or... It's not Lindor.
No Lindor. No Lindor moved to St. Louis yet. No.
Nothing yet, but they did get a little depth move at catching. So tell us about this catcher the Cardinals have signed.
Yeah, Tyler Heineman, they signed to a minor league deal with an invitation to spring camp. He's a 29-year-old. He's basically a triple-A depth kind of catcher. He's a switch hitter, hits well, at least in the minor leagues. Has had a couple brief stints in the major leagues with Miami in 2019 and the Giants this last year. But the Giants have not only Buster Posey, but also a top prospect in Joey Bart. So they took Heineman off their 40-man roster, and the Cardinals picked him up as a minor league signing. He's not going to affect the Molina situation one way or another. The Cardinals had a minor league veteran catcher, Jose Godoy, who was on the taxi squad when Andrew Kisner was with St. Louis, but he left as a free agent. So they need a veteran guy at AAA, and that's probably the role that Tyler Heineman's going to play in 2021.
Yeah, I'm so excited about the young man, Herrera, that I got a chance to see him in spring training, and I believe he's probably, and I don't know if you're in this same camp, but maybe 2 years away. He kind of looked like a young Yachty, the way he was receiving, some of the things that he did. Just give our fans and our listeners an idea just how good this young prospect is.
Well, we haven't rolled out our full top 50 yet, but you're going to see Ivan Herrera in the top five in the Cardinals system. That's not a big spoiler. I mean, this young man has progressed very quickly. He actually played in the Arizona Fall League a year ago now and performed very well down there, not only with the bat, but also in his game calling skills. Is very, very dedicated to his work. And is just a good all-around player. And so, yeah, now the challenge on Ivan Herrera, he's very much like Nolan Gorman in terms of his development. And what I mean is that he's played at high A, but he hasn't yet played at double A. And so, you know, any thoughts that Herrera could jump all the way from Palm Beach, where he played like 18 games in 2019, all the way to St. Louis is unreasonable. And the Cardinals have another catcher, Julio Rodriguez, who doesn't have the same kind of profile, but could maybe be a backup guy. And he's probably going to be maybe the guy at Memphis, and Herrera, would get his experience at Springfield this coming year. But I agree with you. We're a couple of years away, maybe late 2022. We could see Herrera, if there's an injury situation or whatever. But the important thing is that Herrera, because of his experience, he signed back in 2016. He was a July 2nd signing then. What that means is he would become Rule 5 eligible this year, this December, and certainly the Cardinals don't want to lose him. If he were made available in the draft, he'd get snapped up right away. So Herrera is one of the guys that the Cardinals will add to the 40-man here, and that deadline is this Friday, so there's just a couple more days. And along with Herrera, another guy that will probably go on the 40-man roster, again, another guy on the fringes of the top 10 is right-handed starting pitcher Angel Rondon, who was at Springfield in 2019 and is a guy that I think they're looking at. He didn't progress quite as fast as an Oviedo, say, but still looks like a very good prospect.
So we've got Rule 5 protection across the board coming up this week with Major League Baseball.
That's right. All the organizations are required to basically set their rosters. The Cardinals have opened up three 40-man roster spots currently, so they could protect three players. And as I said, Rondon and Herrera, I think, are pretty much locks. And then the other question is Herrera, Julio Rodriguez, the other catcher I mentioned, he's also Rule 5 eligible. And I think he's a guy they may want to keep. But, if the Cardinals use all three of those spots, what that means is they could not take another player in Rule 5 themselves, because you have to have an open spot when you go into that Rule 5 draft, which is on which will be on December 8th. You have to have a spot if you want to pick up another player. So the Cardinals could do some more juggling around with a 40-man this week. And then, of course, you extend beyond that and you say, well, what happens for Yachty and Wainwright if they get signed? And that means the Cardinals have to free up a couple more spots, either via trade or releases or just, moving guys off the 40-man and exposing them to waivers. So there's going to be some more housekeeping that's going to occur over the upcoming weeks. And then the other big deadline is coming up, and we'll talk more about this next week probably, is December 2nd is the non-tender deadline for arbitration eligible players. And there'll be a glut of players that'll be cut loose and made available as free agents. And that will, I think, try to, you know, help kickstart the signing season this winter that so far has gone pretty slow because teams don't know yet, you know, who's out there, who's available, let alone whether there's going to be a designated hitter, what size the rosters are going to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's going to be the big day this offseason in baseball. Although there was a little movement with the Atlanta Braves. What did you think about what they did and how that maybe dovetails into Wainwright adding depth with their pitching, that kind of thing?
Yeah, the Atlanta Braves are one of the few teams that they and Toronto have been fairly active here early in the free agent season. They signed Josh Tomlin, a reliever, to a $1 million deal. You know, not a huge thing. But then they signed Drew Smyly, who is a pitcher that's been around a long time, had a lot of injuries, but just something happened to Drew Smyly in 2020. He found like two or three more miles per hour of velocity on his pitches, was striking out guys at an incredible rate, you know, just had an exceptional year. And the Braves have this history of giving one-year deals to guys. They did it last year with Marcell Ozuna, and we saw him do it the year before with the third baseman Donaldson. But then they also did it with Cole Hamels last year on the pitching side, and that didn't work out. But they paid Drew Smyly $11 million to join their rotation. And the Braves are talking about a system where their starters go the first two times through the order. Then they have these bridge pitchers or mid-tier pitchers. And they're guys that are, for them, guys like Tomlin and Sean Newcomb, who aren't quite good enough to be starters, but then that bridges them to their back of their staff, their bullpen. And, you know, you look at Drew Smyly gets $11 million from the Braves, you have to wonder whether they're going to be also interested in signing Adam Wainwright after spending that kind of money on a starter, because they do have a number of other arms as well. So it's kind of interesting to see not only what the Braves are doing, but what that might do to Adam Wainwright's, the presumed top designation after St. Louis.
You know, watching Tampa Bay kind of do that same type of system, the Atlanta Braves, same type of system, and a little bit out of necessity, especially after Soroka was injured and they were limited with their pitching. Guys were hurt. They were calling up these young kids that probably they didn't expect to call up this year, but then performed well. You got to wonder if that's the trend in going with baseball, and you just load up with these mid-tier guys to kind of bridge the gap to get you to the back end of your bullpen.
You know, it's not only on the pitching side, Dan. The Athletic, Eno Saris and Andrew Baggerly just put up an article yesterday about how the Giants, who have a roster that's sort of like the Cardinals in a way on the offensive side, not a lot of stars, some guys who can play, you know, Brandon Belt and Yastrzemski and all, who can play, but there's no all-stars, no strong superstars on their team. And through their use of analytics and pitching, and you know, they have three different hitting coaches and individualized approach for each hitter, the Giants offense turned into a pretty good unit in 2020. And so, you know, there's things to be learned as organizations evolve over time. And one of the coaches on the Giants who is involved in that process, a guy named Donnie Ecker, who spent 3 years in the Cardinals system. So there's definitely some innovative things going on in baseball. And I think the Cardinals have to figure out a way to get better use of their, you know, their complete roster, and certainly platooning and, you know, using bridge pitchers and, you know, being a little more creative could be a way to do that. Could be ways to do that.
What was your reaction to seeing Theo Epstein step down in Chicago with 1 year left on his deal?
Well, I was surprised he left with a year left on his deal, but if you look at his history, maybe it's not that surprising. The first thing I thought of was, wow, it doesn't send a very positive signal about, you know, what the 2021 Cubs look like. And, you know, that's not a newsflash, but, you know, you'd have to think if Theo thought that the Cubs were going to win him another ring and win everybody another ring, that he would have stayed around to see it. You know, he's going to take some time off, apparently. I'm sure he's going to look for another situation like he's been in the past, where there's an owner with a lot of money that's willing to spend, and maybe the organization hasn't won in a while. I think on one hand, there's, you know, you can't argue. Theo Epstein is a Hall of Famer already. Three titles, three World Series titles in two cities that hadn't won in a long, long time. But if you look at the Cubs situation right now, it's not a good situation. I mean, we know they've got the big contracts and they don't know what to do with them. They've got trouble with pitching. They haven't developed pitching in a long time. Their farm system is among the worst in the majors because he traded away all their guys. So, you know, the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, who's the GM who's going to stay around and manage, you know, is going to inherit a tough situation there. But obviously it's a positive for the Cardinals. Anytime the Cubs struggle a little bit or have a little bit of a disruption, it's positive for the rest of the division.
I got to wonder if you wanted to make a quick fix or try to unload deals like Bryant, Baez, Schwarber in a normal year, you probably could. But I got to wonder about the marketplace and the appetite for teams to take on those types of deals. There might be only just a, you know, handful of teams that want those type of contracts. So it may be very, very tough for the Cubs to try to unload those kind of deals to have payroll relief. I really think it's going to be tough.
Well, and not only that, Dan, I mean, Bryant's got 1 year left. So not only are you going to, you know, risk a lot for a guy with a huge contract who hasn't performed up to expectations in a few years, but you're also going to get a guy who might just be a rental. So, you know, you're not going to want to give up three or four top prospects for a guy who could walk after whatever the 2021 season is going to be, whether it's 100 games or 162 games or whatever, you know. So there's a lot of question marks, you're right, that make the trade market for these big-end contracts a tough situation. And that applies to you know, the name brand guys like Arenado and Lindor, but also to the guys the Cardinals have, like Carlos Martinez and Carpenter and Fowler. I mean, they're just not really tradable unless teams are willing to eat a segment of their salary.
I think it's going to be very tough for them to do that. And you know, Steve Phillips was on MLB Radio Network, and he's saying, well, you can just take these guys, trade them for 1 year, and then kind of reevaluate and bring them back and make another run and replenish the farm system. I just don't think it's that easy to do. Would you agree?
But, I mean, there's only a handful of teams. I think Artie Moreno for the Angels came out the other day and you know, said, hey, we're not going to cut our payroll. But most of the teams are saying what Mo and the Cardinals are saying, and that is, hey, you know, we took a bath last year. You know, we've got to trim our payroll. And so teams trimming their payrolls aren't going to want to take on a $20 million Francisco Lindor. They can't.
That's the key. I think that's going to be the really tough part about this. Normally, we're talking about the Arizona Fall League at this time. Winter leagues are kicking up. As far as Winter League baseball, I am seeing some highlights. I didn't see any crowd, but I am seeing Winter League ball being played. What's going on with Winter League Baseball right now?
Mexico started last month, actually, and the Cardinals have a couple prospects down there. The most notable name is shortstop Mateo Gil. That's G-I-L. His dad was a former Major League shortstop as well. He's only played in short season ball, but he's an interesting prospect in the Cardinals system. And in our rankings, he's a, you know, mid-tier guy in the 20s. Then there's a couple of others down in Mexico. And then the Dominican Republic, which is typically the highest profile league, they just started up this past weekend. And so the Cardinals have half a dozen players there, major league guys. I'm talking about Junior Fernandez and Nagowski, Ravello, Sosa, and then Julio Rodriguez, the young catcher I mentioned, are all playing in the Dominican. We haven't yet, whether Puerto Rico gets going or when, it's a little bit open to question right now, but they, I guess, are supposed to start the first week in December. And all these leagues will play, and then the Caribbean series is scheduled, as it usually is, at the end of January, beginning of February, where the champions of these winter leagues all play in one big tournament, and that'll be in Mexico this year.
What are you hearing about testing, Brian? Are they doing any testing, or is there anything that they can do to try to mitigate the virus?
You know, it's interesting. You know, it's sort of an issue for our entire society right now, as we're watching, you know, the potential of a vaccine that could help all of our population. And the latest word is, you know, that maybe even as soon as December next month, some of the critical health workers and some of the elderly might be able to get access to some of these. But for the general population, you know, they're saying maybe April or even later. So, you know, it's really interesting, because if you look at the schedule, the baseball schedule, Cardinals opening day is April 1st in Cincinnati, and the home opener is a week later. So, you know, there's going to be this race to you know, get the vaccine out and get the population, you know, protected. And, you know, that's going to affect potentially how and in what manner Major League Baseball is going to be able to open in 2021.
So in winter ball, though, they're not testing. They're just.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I don't know the details of, to tell you the truth, what they're doing in winter ball, but they're playing, definitely. And you know, in the clips I've seen, I haven't seen a lot of mask wearing or anything like that. But yeah, as you mentioned, there's also not, you know, not the folks in the stands. So, you know, I think they're being cautious, but you know, but I don't really know any more than that. Let me just
leave
it at that.
Sure. Let's wrap it up with this. What do you have coming up daily on thecardinalnation.com? I've been enjoying the top 50 prospect list.
Yeah, we've and what I try to do is make one out of every five available free so folks can see the quality of work that we're doing. Matt Thompson from Prospects Live is providing tools-based analysis of all the prospects that we rank, all 50. And then I write about the environment that the players in the past years and this year and their ultimate future. And so Pedro Pajes, a catcher that the Cardinals drafted in the sixth round in 2019, is up today, is a good young player to keep an eye on. As I mentioned, we're going to be having reports on the Cardinals' progress in winter leagues every week, one report on pitchers and one report on hitters. And we'll continue to report on what's happening with the roster changes in Rule 5. I'm also working on a story about the history of Rule 5 because a lot of folks say, yeah, you know, it's not that big a deal. But even in the minor league phase of the Rule 5, the Cardinals got a valuable pitcher a few years ago, John Berbia. So, you know, it's a way for teams that are, you know, looking on the cheap to augment their rosters to do so. And so this year, Rule 5 could be, you know, even more busy than it's been in the past.
There's no doubt. And then December 2nd, so it's going to get really interesting very quickly here in Major League Baseball. Hey, Brian, great stuff. TheCardinalNation.com, and we'll catch up again next Wednesday. Thanks for your time.
Take care, Dan.